Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, sponsored by the audiobook edition of Will Eisner, A Spirited Life, now available on iTunes and Audible.com, and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and home shopping network, capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I haven't spoken with her yet, but my sense is that Deborah Calla, who produced and co-wrote the new indie film, A Beautiful Life, feels a strong connection to the lead character, Maggie. It's just a sense, but the character of Maggie, a teenage girl running away from the sexual abuse of her father, doesn't seem like an emotional story you would want to participate in telling unless it really spoke to your soul. Of course, I could be completely mistaken. Calla, a Brazilian native, first discovered Wendy Hammond's play, Jersey City, back in 1996. Obviously, it took a long time to translate Jersey City into A Beautiful Life, but I'm sure there is an audience out there for this alternately harsh and yet tender slice of modern life. And Calla found some strong women to fill the lead and featured roles, starting with Angela Serafian as Maggie, the lead character, and continuing with Bai Ling as Maggie's protector, Dana Delaney as her mother, and Debbie Mazar as a librarian who takes an interest in Maggie. Before we bring Deborah on, I'd just like to play you just a little clip from A Beautiful Life. This is Angela Serafian as Maggie and Jesse Davis as David. Give it a listen. Let's go.
Hmm?
Can I share some of your blanket?
Go away.
I'll tell you about my scar.
No. Okay. Okay, tell me.
I got the scar when I was waiting to cross a few years ago. I was stabbed and left for dead. I took all my money. I took everything I had.
That's horrible.
Maggie. I also wanted a beautiful life. Never to be hungry. Always be safe.
I'm going to correct myself here right before I bring Deborah on. That was actually Jesse Garcia as David. I blanked out for a minute. Deborah, welcome to Mr. Media.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. How did the premiere go last night?
Oh, it was so much fun. I think that it was beautiful to see the print, the film, in a big theater with a huge screen and beautiful sound. And I think the audience really responded well to the film. I mean, it was... I think there was a large part of the audience that was really moved by it, and it was very exciting. It was really, really exciting.
Now, I just spoke with Bai Ling a few minutes ago in a separate interview, and she said that some time had passed since she did the movie and that she had come in on like a day's notice to be part of the film. And that it was very exciting for her to see it all come together because she had not seen it, and she was very impressed with it.
Well, Bai is, I think, this is the best work she's ever done. I mean, this is a woman who looks amazing, with makeup on, amazing without any makeup on. She looks and she is just terrific in this film. I mean, she just has so many different colors and she is in so many scenes and she goes through such a journey. And you get to see Bai Ling for who she really is, which is she's a terrific actress. And I hope that this movie will show other producers and directors what she can really do. She really is amazing in the film. So having, having had her in the film was just the best thing.
I got the sense from her that she was definitely riding a high after seeing it last night, that she seemed to feel that this was going to be a very good thing for her career.
I think so. I mean, I really think so because, because she's Chinese and, you know, she, her looks, her accent, she ends up being, you know, typecast in a lot of, in a lot of the films that she does in TV programming. But this film really shows Bai Ling as the wonderful actress that she is. And again, I hope that this will open many doors for her. And she does a beautiful job, and I'm as a producer of the film, I'm very, very lucky to have her be part of this project.
Now, I have to ask you, because she brought it up, and I had no idea. She stepped in late because to replace another actress, Denise Richards. And as she said, you know, it's the second time I've stepped into a role that was intended for a white blonde voluptuous woman, and I said, it's just hard to imagine the part was the same. Can you tell us what changed?
Well, nothing changed because I think that. I mean, I'm originally from Brazil, so and I live in the United States now. So, I mean, my concept of people is very different. So, I think, Bai Ling plays a stripper who has aspirations of being a singer. That could be played by any actress, any wonderful actress. So it could have been played by Denise Richards, and it could have been played by Bai Ling. And Bai Ling brought special qualities to the role that, you know, the film would have been completely different if Denise Richards had done it. And Bai Ling brought something. I mean, she is not just because she's Chinese. She's a very exotic actress. She's very unique. She is a total character. So she brought all of that to the part of Esther, and she actually sings in the film, and she's very comfortable in playing an exotic dancer, and so that's what makes a difference is that Bai Ling brings her experience of life and her travels and her living in all parts of the world to this part, and she makes it her own. She makes it unique. And again, I think that often screenwriters write a part, and it's kind of easier or sort of more just to describe a character as Caucasian. But the truth is, often characters can be played by, any race, and I really want to support, all screenwriters to really think outside of the box, because in this particular case with A Beautiful Life, having Bai Ling was a gift. It was like an extra bonus that I had not thought about, and it just happened, and it was a wonderful surprise. So, again, I couldn't be happier with Bai Ling's performance.
Now, I'm not going to belabor this, but I have to ask because I didn't know this was going to come up. You started production with Denise Richards. What changed?
It's the so-called creative differences, and and that's And that's sort of like it's anything and everything. It goes all in the same bag. Creative differences. So, yeah.
Okay. I guess we'll just have to let it go with that. Tell me about the other star of the film, Angela Serafian. Where did you find her, and what made her write for the role of Maggie?
Well, actually, Angela is the only actor who auditioned for the film. All the other actors were given the script, were the perfect actors for the parts, and we just wanted them. But Maggie was someone who we didn't know, so we had to go out and look for her. I mean, Dana Delaney, she's a wonderful actress, and she was wonderful to play the mother. And Jesse Garcia, Jesse was actually the first actor to come on board. And so I had seen Jesse's work, and I knew Jesse was the right actor for it. So, you know, I met with Jesse. I talked him into doing this film, and the same went for Dana Delaney and Debbie Mazar and Denise Richards. Angela was, you know, we just couldn't think of who would play the part of Maggie, because that was a very, you know, she carries the movie, and it's a very specific part. It has to be a young actress. She has to be vulnerable, and she has to be tough. She has to be, you know, her looks have to be a certain way. So we went, you know, looking for Maggie, and we looked for her in New York, and we looked for her in L.A. And when I met Angela, I just thought, this is, you know, this is, I know her acting some, and she is, you know, she's a very good actress, but her face is so unique, and her, you know, so if she can do this part, she's just going to be amazing. And then the director arrived from Argentina, and he read a number of actresses, and he fell in love with her. And from that point on, it was like, she's the only Maggie, and so Angela was on board.
So the director, and I meant to mention him when I spoke with Bai Ling, is Alejandro Chomsky?
Chomsky, yes, yeah.
Oh, Chomsky. So this was a very international production. I mean, you're from Brazil, Bai Ling from China, he's from Argentina. Guillermo Diaz, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty confident that he and Jesse are Latino. I don't know exactly where they're from, but pretty you know, all the colors of the rainbow, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's the world we live in. I mean, you know you come out from your house, your apartment, and that's, you know, that's the world we live in today. And if we are going to be honest about the world we live in a big city, maybe, you know, some parts of the world, it's not, we don't have all the different colors and nationalities, but this film takes place in downtown Los Angeles, and people from all over the world and from all over the U.S. can end up in downtown L.A., and the part of downtown L.A. that we are describing, that you know, this movie takes place in, is, you know, it's like where everyone comes with a dream and ends up in, you know, either on the street or living in you know, in hotels or tenements or whatever else. And this is the sort of the fallout of the big urban cities, and the same can be seen in New York City and any major U.S. city. So these are, you know, this is, you come outside your door and you have Chinese, you have Korean, you have African Americans, you have Latinos. This is Los Angeles, and we wanted to be honest about it.
Is it any different for a Brazilian woman to make films in Hollywood than someone from any other part of the world? Is it easier? Is it harder? Do they not know what to make of you?
Well, they nobody knows what to make of me, period, here or anywhere. I think Latino culture in general has one, in terms of working, has one disadvantage to sort of Anglo cultures, which is Latinos are more sort of humble or more sort of, you know, because of, you know, sort of the cultural, social, and political development of Latin America, we don't feel like we have so many rights. We're not used to speaking up. Lots of us have grown up in sort of in governments where we couldn't really come out and say what we thought. So it is ingrained in our cultural development not to be entitled, to think we are entitled to things. But I also am Jewish, and I grew up thinking that I had entitlement to everything. The part of Brazilian, I think that in terms of working in Hollywood, I think it's more to do with being a woman. I mean, it still is very much a boys' club, especially when you come on the set. I'm 5'1¾", and you know, so I'm a small person, and I'm a girl, and you know, and I am a girl. I don't try to be a man. And it kind of like I have to win the respect of the crew, and I have to win the respect of, you know, financiers, which are, you know, mostly men, that I can do the job. So I think it's more to do with being a woman than being Brazilian when I, you know, come out and try to, you know, either finance a film or come on the set. But, you know, I have to say A Beautiful Life, it was just a really great experience. We have all become friends. I mean, you know, we talk and we socialize. It became, because it was really a project that we all of us wanted to make. So it's a different type of project. So in this particular situation, I think being Brazilian or a woman was not an issue.
Well, I have another short clip from the movie I'd like to play, and then I want to ask you about, after the clip, I want to ask you about why it took so long to get this movie made. But first, this is Bai Ling and Angela Serafian in A Beautiful Life.
Drinking a soda, and Sam asks, how's it going with Jack? I tell him, I wish he didn't have to work graveyard shift, because I hardly ever see him. And Sam says, he doesn't work graveyard shift. He's down here after hours, every night with a different woman.
Well, maybe Sam made a mistake that it wasn't Jack. Maybe it was someone else.
No, I asked Jack, and he says it's true. I'll disappear if you don't like it. And now he's fucking gone.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
So why did it take so long to get this film made, Deborah?
Well, the film has two huge problems in terms of financing. First one is that the two main characters are young, and that means that you can't go to any name actor, and in this marketplace, movie gets financed based on names. So that was the first problem. The second problem is that it deals with tough subjects. It deals with, you know, sexual abuse, and that's a topic that, although very, very important, and, you know, especially in the last, you know, year or so, that there are so many so many stories coming out that, you know, exactly about that, you know, young girls or young boys that are kidnapped or their parents, and the case in Austria. And so anyway, there's so it, that was also very hard to have anyone want to finance a film that they themselves, you know, felt that it was tough to talk about, tough to look at, tough to see. And but it's necessary. It's just necessary. I mean, I think that we need to talk about, you know, sexual exploitation, sexual abuse, and these are parts of, these are issues going on in our society. So those are the two, those are the two factors that made it really difficult to finance.
Well, I have to agree with the last part of what you said, that it can be a tough film to watch. I actually watched it a second time because the first time I was kind of shocked, and it was tough to watch. And the second time I enjoyed it more as a film, and you know, still absorbing the elements of abuse and things that were going on. But you could see a bigger picture, I think, the second time, or at least I could. I wanted to ask you, before we wrap up, what did you learn from producing A Beautiful Life, good and bad, that you'll take with you, you know, to your next projects, to future projects?
Well, I learned that I can deal with almost anything, because everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And I mean, that, you know, that's any producing, but this is because, you know, also dealing with a short amount of time and, you know, and not a lot of money to make a film, then it's like the stress is huge. So I learned that I can produce a film under any circumstances and still finish the film on time and on budget. So that part, I'm very, very proud of myself to be able to take that to my next project, you know, that I can deal with any situation. And the thing that I also learned is that, you know, to breathe more through all the crises, because there were many, and you know, and it's you just gotta, you know, I think I just I could have breathed through a little bit more than I did for myself. That's, you know, between, you know, that's the relationship between me and myself, and also that to spare me from such, you know, stress and whatever else.
And so what's next for you?
Well, I am now putting together a film called Ms. Zacatecas, and I have some financing. I have a director, and I'm taking it out to talent, so that would be my next project. I have a website, The Love Project, Inc., INC as incorporated, where it's a website about all topics about love and life, and there are blogs and interviews and pictures and articles, and you know, it's really a site to discuss subjects of love and life, and it's beautiful. I'm very proud of it. I've written a book. And I write often for the Huffington Post, and I am doing a film in Brazil in November, Beat the World.
Very good. Well, you're obviously very busy, and that's all good. Folks, listen, you can learn more about Deborah Calla's new film, A Beautiful Life, by visiting the website at www.abeautifullife.newfilmsint, that's for international, newfilmsint.com. And obviously, Deborah's got a book out there. She's got The Love Project, lots of ways to find her and support her work. And Deborah, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Mr. Media today.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Media. Lovely to be here.
My pleasure, and good luck, and come back when the next film is ready.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And folks, for more interviews with your favorite or your independent films that you want to discover, the directors and the writers and producers, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with the men and women behind For Love and Stacy, Harmony and Me, Obsessed, Street Ballers, Dog Days of Summer, The Singing Revolution, Steam, Little Chicago, Election Day, In the Shadow of the Moon, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. That's whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, True Slant, Pointer Online, Digital Journal, Vox, Mediafly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, Current, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and spend it with us. Thanks for listening, and let's go out. This is Bai Ling singing As the Stripper Destiny in A Beautiful Life.
Okay. Here at Sam's, we like to encourage new talent.
Yeah!
Yeah! And tonight we got something very special. So put your hands together and welcome my main attraction, Destiny!
I stood by you.